Okay, we entered a gold mine of a sugya, going back to the basics. As I heard from my Rebbe Zatzal, Rav Moshe Shapiro, sometimes we have to go back to the Aleph Beis, and we find that people's mistakes go all the way back to how they learned the Aleph Beis in any given sugya. And we went back to the Aleph Beis of behavior. Derech Eretz Kodma L'Toyra. Derech Eretz Kodma L'Toyra doesn't just mean that chronologically there were 26 generations before Matan Torah where all they had was Balabatim trying to figure out how to be nice to each other without any type of lumdus or learning or mitzvahs or anything. It was a mahalach that must come before the Torah. Derech Eretz must come before the Torah. And the Altar of Slobodka says that's the pshat in Derech Eretz Kodma L'Torah. It's not just that it's before chronologically, it's that it must come before. If a person doesn't have Derech Eretz, the Altar writes, it's brought in from his Talmidim in the back of the Sichas of the Saba Mislobodka. Sha'adam b'mashu adam chevrati v'oilami. A person, like we quoted the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, is medini, is societal. He needs people. He needs people to take care of him. He needs people to build houses. He needs people to create shelter, to create clothes, shoes, belts, ties, right? Everything in the world by man is only, his ability to survive is only with people. Hippopotamuses don't need anyone. They're just chilling alone. Each hippopotamus has his grass, has his shade, has his water. A lot of the animals, most of them just like leave their young and they figure it out. But an Adam must be part of the people. And says the Altar, Mislobodka, you can't understand the Torah of Shlemus and the Torah. El al yidei chayei nimus, being polite, having manners, viderech eretz, and having proper derech eretz. Kizeu yisoid enoishi. That's what it means to be a person. The first thing we need to be is what we called a mensch. A mensch is a person, and without being a mensch, a person can't tap into the Torah. The Torah, it's like somebody who's trying to go into college, Lahavdil, Alfalvi Abdullis, right before graduating elementary school or high school. There are certain basics that have to be done before all of these things, right? And a person has to learn how to be a mensch. So I'd like to go through this further. I think we're going to be on this a little bit because the Olam was really into it. And it inspires us to work harder and harder. Even though last week, we got hit pretty hard. I got hit pretty hard by myself, don't worry. And some people also felt hit pretty hard that we might be subhuman. We might be lacking in our humanity. We might be really not watching out for our friends, watching out for our society, watching out for our country, watching out for anybody but ourselves. We might just be glorified hippopotamuses, right? Just sitting alone and just trying to do everything ourselves. And that's very scary. But once you call it out, you already practically fix the problem. People don't realize, when I call things out, I don't call people out. I just call things out. Once they're called out, you'll remember it for the rest of your life. And people have told me this. 10 years later, they're going through a situation, they remember, wow, that was called out in the shmooz, and it just kills the chill. Any yetzer hara that you have that we call out in the shmooz, you won't want to do it anymore because we already made fun of it. So our goal is to make as much fun of as many things as possible to ruin all of the chills of being not menschlich. That's our goal. I think we're succeeding a little bit, Be'ezus Hashem. So we're talking about mediniyut, which means being part of society. I want to talk about something called manners. Manners. Now, the classic approach, the yeshivish approach, and its legitimate approach to manners is, manners are misafa v'lechutz. Manners are external, and there are beautiful stories to support this. And I'm not going to get into them now. However, I'm bothered. Why? Because if the goyim have manners, and we're learning a sugya, my friends, that's before the Torah, then we better understand the omek, the depth of please and thank you. Because please and thank you has existed 26 generations before Matan Torah. And I'm not giving a shir in Torah today. I'm trying to talk about being human. And in the world of humanity, it's very appropriate to say, please, thank you, would you mind, right? Being polite. So I want to try to understand this sugya, this sugya. A lot of times these things are empty, right? I have on my voicemail, right? I'm very crazy like this. I'm medayik in everything. You know, if you're going to be medayik in a rashba, you can also listen carefully to your voicemail. It says, you have no new messages. Thank you. Like, why are you saying thank you to me? Like, you have no new messages. Thank you. And like, play it over. Like, what is this lady saying thank you that I have no new messages? That's the omek. And you, by the way, there's studies that if someone doesn't get a thank you, right? You have no new messages. Thank you, right? Imagine I would say that to you, Akiva. You have no breakfast today. Thank you. Like, what are we talking about over here? But there's obviously got to be something to thank yous when they're supposed to be used. A lot of them are empty and a lot of pleases are empty. However, we have to understand this sugya. So I had no choice, but I had to find the makor for please in the Torah. Yes. And I found a stunning makor for who says please and who forgets to say please. You're going to love this. Here we go. When Yaakov and Esav come to Yitzchak to get the brachas, right? There's a big fight over here. Esav is tired b'fiv. He's running to hunt. Yaakov's coming in. And they have a different lashon, they say. Yaakov tells his father, kum na, please get up, Tati. Interesting. Esav, he doesn't say that. Yaakov says, kum na. What does Esav say? He says, kuma, get up. Get up. Right now, okay, wow. So Yaakov says, please get up to his father. And what's going to happen? Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu oyvecha. Hashem's going to wipe out his enemies. Esav doesn't say, please. What happens? Yokem Elokim yafutzu oyvav. He's going to get wiped out. What in the world is this Chazal talking about? It's a Yalkut Shimoni and other Midrashim. Don't you remember to say please? You better say please. You say please, then everything's great. You don't say please, you're getting wiped off the face of the map. What's going on over here? Listen to the depth. Okay? Listen to the depth. What's going on? The Chasam Sofer explains this. The Chasam Sofer says that what's going on with these brachas? I'm entitled to these brachas. Esav's the Bechor. He's the firstborn. This is supposed to happen. When a person feels entitled, so there's expectations of what's going to happen. It's not technically the word please. Why do you say please to someone? Say, Akiva, would you please pass the ketchup? Do you know why I say that to you? You don't have to pass the ketchup. You can say, start, take a hike. I don't feel like passing the ketchup. I have my fork in my hand. I'm about to eat something, and you're telling me to pass the ketchup? The answer is, Akiva, I agree with you. That's why I'm saying please. I'm asking you to interfere with your existence, and would you be so kind to stop something for me? I acknowledge that you are not mechuyev to me, that you're doing something for me. That's the omek in the word not or please. It's an understanding that we're part of a group and not everyone's here to serve me. On the contrary, they're all busy with whatever they're doing. And therefore I place into this a please to acknowledge that I'm interfering with someone's life and that I appreciate that they're considering me, and I acknowledge them with a thank you because I understand that they did something for me. What'd you do for me? You just passed the ketchup. No, I stopped what I'm doing. You're not God. You're somebody who's sitting next to me. I passed you the ketchup. I did something for you. Thank you. That's the concept of please and thank you. It existed from the very beginning. Esav had such a feeling of entitlement. He didn't say, whoever reads this Chazal, like Esav screamed at his father, reads it terribly wrong. If you think, he goes, get up, dad! Right? Then you don't know anything about Esav. Chazal tell us that the kibud av va'im of Esav was such that we basically are all put to shame. So whoever reads this pasuk that way, because the word please wasn't there, doesn't know what they're talking about. It was very much like b'chavadek, but it was like, father, arise. Right? What? You just missed the please? That was so nice. Father, arise. Right? Yaakov says, Tata, would you please rise and give me the brachas? What's the difference? One feels entitled and the other one feels like it's something that they don't deserve. And these are two separate attitudes of people, or subhumans. There are people in the world who understand they're part of a society, they're part of a group, they're part of a family, and they're part of something, and they're not the ones that are koveya, and the world is not there to serve them. And these nimusim come from this genuine understanding that this is what it's supposed to be about. And now I'm going to show you another makar, right? Who's the one who always tells us to have manners? Mom! Mom, right? You know what she does? She goes, ooh, where are you going for Shabbos? Oh, you're going to Rabbi Stark's. Did you get them a box of chocolate? Yes, I'm getting it, Mom. Right, I'm getting it, Mom. Okay, did you offer to clear the table? I did, Mom, right? Right? Did you say thank you to the Rebbetzin? Give her a personal yeshkayach? I did, Mom, right? I don't know if he did, but he's telling Mom, 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 Mom. It's an Emek Dover! Listen to this one. She has a makar. The Emek Dover in Dvarim Chafal, Parshas Kitetze, says in Pasuk Yudches, Shma b'ni musar avicha. Listen to the musar of your father, va'al titoish toiras imecha. And don't abandon the Torah of your mother. What's this? Says the Mitziv, a father teaches his son Torah. And that's called Musar, because it's direction. Va'eim milamedes derech eretz uminag tov v'nikvar toiras eim. The mother teaches someone how to act like a mensch. How to act like a mensch. There's an entire Torah to this type of behavior of realizing that we're not entitled. We're not entitled. And you're right, it is true. My voicemail says thank you. And also, you know, everybody's running around with pleases. However, let's not forget, there's an omek, there's a depth over here. The pshat is that when we say please, we actually feel it. As I mentioned from my Rebbe, I'll never forget this, a few times, when my Rebbe needed a sefer in the middle of the Grand Mishlei vibe of Moshe Shapiro, he said with such drama, it's like wanted to like say, like, whoa, it's like, what's going on? It's like, could I be matriach someone, perhaps, to get me a Baba Basra? But for him, the idea was, with all of the covet of Rav Moshe Shapiro and all the fearsome presence, at the end of the day, he was for the people. He was for the people. And it even bothered him to tell anybody to do anything for him. There are two ways a person can go through life. A person can go through life with entitlements, or a person can go through life with understanding that everything they're getting from others is a gift because they're part of a group, they're part of people. And you can see this in people's way. I don't know if they say please or not. But you know, you go on these trips, right? People have munch, right? Now it's a new word, munch. In 9 days it was called snacks, right? My kids still call it snacks, right? It's called munch, right? Right? So how do people go? It's like, a guy has a bag of chips, hey, you got munch? Bam! Sticks his hand in before the shiloh is over. Like even pachas mitokhidei dibor. Like, what's going on? Hey, you got munch? Yup, yup. Right? It's a demand. Most people, you watch them, they're not asking for anything. And if you say no, they look at you like you're crazy. When a person sees somebody with a snack or munch, you know what they have to do? They have to figure out what's going on over here. This is his thing. He brought this for himself. Right? He brought this because this is something that makes him happy. I am somebody who is going into his world. I would love some munch. First I figure, will it be even awkward to ask him? Will I make him feel uncomfortable? That bed looks mighty small. It looks like it's halfway done. Then I conclude, nah, it's maybe 3/4 up on the top. It's good. Reb David, could I be my triach zion for a bissel of munch? That's the way to speak. No, you got munch, right? Right? Could I borrow your jacket? It's on before the guy does this. You know how many times I've gotten this in yeshiva? In any yeshiva. But here also, people just start taking things before they even ask. Because their understanding is that imani kan, if I'm here, hakol kan, everybody's here. They're living, we're working on it. But they're living in a mentality of being for themselves. And it shows up in so many places. It shows up in places that we said are very ugly. I once met somebody who considers himself a Ben Torah and learns in many yeshivas in Kailan, but he told me something horrifying, and now I think he's an aid puzzle. I would stay away from the guy. He told me that when he goes to, without him being embarrassed, he told me that he asked the following shayla to a rav. Just that he asked this shayla puzzles him, and if anybody calls me for shiduchim for his kids, I'd be like, stay far away. But I won't say why, don't worry, but I would stay far away. What does he do? He goes to a hotel. So he, when he gets to the hotel room, he puts a tissue box into his bag. Why? Because then they give him another tissue box. And then he puts another tissue box in his bed. And then they give him another one. Then he puts another, then he comes home with 20 tissue boxes. He's a lumdus. He is a lumdus, right? What's his lumdus? The hotel provides tissues, right? They even have a deal with Kleenex for advertising purposes, right? Buddy, forget Chush and Mishpat, forget rabbis. This is what you do. You're a leech. This is how you go to a hotel. He even told me how to shout out, take out the light bulbs. We're buying a dial on the cooler. Like, what? They provide the light bulbs. GE has a deal with them. It's not about stealing. You think it's about stealing? It's not about stealing. It turns people into thieves. This attitude turns people into thieves. I want you to know, something I learned from experience is I've never found somebody who's a thief l'shem stealing. Like a hinani muchan or mezuman to be a ganav. I've never seen somebody put on like one of those ski masks and go into the shower and start taking the shampoo from everybody. You know? It's like we never go, so you're the guy, take off the mask. Aha! It's Rabbi Stark. Oh! It's always the guy you least suspect. Right? Who are these guys? They're not wearing ski masks. Right? They're in the shower, so no one expects that they're going to open the shower on them. La, 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 la. They're singing away, enjoying all the different fragrances of all the various shampoos of everybody else. Do you think these people are thieves? No. They don't even feel like they're stealing. Because they just really feel, they honestly have never grown up and understood that this is somebody's, like, slow. They didn't think it's somebody's. They're not robbing a bank. Well, when I rob a bank, I feel like that because I got my gun, I got my ski mask or like a stocking over my head, you know, like all these things. And I'm robbing this bank and I know I'm taking things that aren't mine. It's like, no, this is my shampoo. It is? Yeah, look, it's right next to me. I think I'm going to take it back to my room even. Like, it's so great. I'm enjoying this so much. I've seen this so many times. The root of these types of thieves are not the desire to steal. It's simply people who don't understand what it is that they're part of a world and they actually see themselves wherever they go. They see themselves. And it is a little bit scary. You know, like the milk at the coffee station. I didn't ask Rabbi Geisler what the halacha is on this milk, right? But let's not talk about halacha, the official statement of Rabbi Geisler on what the milk is. You sometimes see, you know, there's one milk out there, right? And Mr. like, energy drink man, right, who's got like his high fiber and 3 billion calorie drink to like make his biceps bulge and his six pack go to Shemayim, right? He's ready to go. He's got his thing. And he's like, la-di-da, la-di-da, right? The entire bag of milk is going in there. Like, hello, like maybe someone wants a coffee for afternoon sitter. I didn't think about that one. I thought about my six pack, right? Buddy, makaralecha, or even a bowl of cereal. I'm not saying this is halacha, but this is where we want to get to. If anyone expects to be married in this room, they have to realize that this is a basic understanding. When you're living with 3 or 4 people, right? If you can't live with 100 people, you can't live with 3 or 4, right? Because 100 people definitely need more milk than 3 or 4. So a person first has to know how to live with others and think, this is milk that's probably something that so many people want to enjoy now. I don't know if the kitchen's open. Maybe let me check. Maybe see if there's another milk available. Ah, it's locked. Oh, I'm sure someone will open it up. Like, what's going on? Basic derech eretz, basic care for another person. It's so sad because for a little bit of shampoo, a person's going to have to come back. And I called my resident mekubal. I have real mekubalim. I don't reveal my mekubalim. I'm close with legitimate mekubalim, people who are shayach to all kisvei ari and tell me what's going on. And I said, listen, I want to find out if it's true. Is it really true that if somebody takes somebody's shampoo, they're going to have to come back as a Gilgal, you know, in Manhattan, like giving out free shampoo on corners? I want to find out if this is true. You ever wonder who those guys are? Like they're standing out samples at spas? Like they're Gilgulim. They're Gilgula Mabacharim who used, ooh, I always wanted to have watermelon under my armpit. Like, wow, right? That's what happened to them. Now they're giving out watermelon, like, samples. So what happens to them? So I called my resident Makubal, and he told me it's a gon, and I was embarrassed because I like to think I'm the gon man, but I'm not. And this is another proof. He said it's an Evan Shlema, and it's a Gron Mishle. Hagoyzo mechavero, perigimel. Velo hefzer lenigzal, and he doesn't return it. Ad klos yimei mukhrachim lavo begilgal. He has to come to a Gilgal, and by the way, it is a little complicated. The guy he stole from, the guy who owns the shampoo, has to somehow get nisgalgel for that mice and nisin, and then come back up so that justice is done. Why am I bringing the Gilgulim? I never pull the Gilgal trick here. If I wanted to, by the way, I could spook you out every week with the Gilgal trick. Why have I never done that? Do you know why? Because I hold there's a big lumdus to this Gilgal. The Gilgal's simple. You took something that's not yours, that's not in your life. When somebody takes something that's not theirs, it's not just inconsiderate. They've actually sucked somebody else's life from them, and they've lived outside their life, and now they got to play it again. Have to do it all over. Life is about living in our own lives, in having our own possessions, in sharing things with others, in asking for things. All of these things are part of the basic halach yelech, the basic derech eretz that we have. And this is so important to feel this way. A person can't make any progress in working on, so people take out a shalom bayis sefer. A person who takes someone's shampoo could have a shalom bayis sefer. It's a waste of time. ABCs, to look at a milk and think of 100 people. That's how you prepare for marriage. You don't prepare, if my wife comes home from a hard day and she's screaming at me, to like just smile. No, it's to look at a milk and say, wow, like maybe my wife wants some, maybe my kids want some, right? Not let me just take everything for myself. Derech Eretz! And now it gets even more interesting, my friends. Even more interesting. Because part of Derech Eretz, like we said, is realizing you're not the Bala Bayis. You're not in charge. Listen to this Chazal. It's a Medrash. You can look it up later. It's in Vayikra Rabbah, Parsha Aleph, Tesvav. A pleyadika medrash. Vayikra el Moshe ve'idabra el Hashem. Mikan amru, kol Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham sounds very good. If you're called a Talmud Chacham, in this, it means you're a Baki B'shas. Kol Talmud Chacham she'ein bo das, who doesn't have basic seichel. How could that be? You have a Talmud Chacham who doesn't have basic das? Interesting. Kol Talmud Chacham she'ein bo das nevela tova mimenu. A carcass is better than him. A lifeless dead piece of meat. Some cow lying on the floor, or worse, some dog, is better than that Talmud Chacham. Whoa! So what terrible thing did he do? Let's get ready for an example here, that he took out an M16 and just started firing on innocent women and children. Okay? That's what we should expect, right? Let's see what it says here. Teidelecha shechein, seul mad me Moshe, avya chachma v'avya nevim. Learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. The greatest Chacham Navi, Shehot Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, he took Klai Yisrael Mitzrayim, he did Nisim, he split the Yam, he went up to Shamayim, he brought the Torah down, he built the Mishkan, Velo Nichnas L'Snagas Nim, he never went in to speak to Hashem in the old Moed, Ad Shekarlo, until he was asked to come in by Hashem. So now you're expecting a big climax. That's the end. Kol Talmud Chacham, any Talmud Chacham who has no das, a Nevela is better than him. Who is the one who has das? Moshe Rabbeinu, who did all these great things. He built the Mishkan, and he still waited for Hashem to call him in. He didn't just barge into the Ol Moed. What's going on over here? Listen to the depth. Moshe Rabbeinu had every reason to think he was entitled to be like this with Hashem. He went up to bring the Torah down. He took all Israel out, right? He built the Mishkan. He built the Ol Moed. It's his house with Hashem. Hashem always says we speak together all the time. But he never forgot the relationship that he's not the Bala Bayis. He's not the Bala Bayis. Sometimes we forget who's the Bala Bayis. Moshe could have forgotten. He could have thought that Hashem loves me so much that I could just walk in without knocking. Right? It's my home. It's my home. And there's so many times where people really should feel like guests, and they don't feel like guests. I was at Rav Gamliel Rabinovich's house. This is a Maisa Shahaya. Okay? It's a long story what happened over there. I got there to Rav Gamliel. This person who was there, this Balabas, saw me. He saw that Rav Shmuel Birnbaum was at my parents' house the night before, and he wanted to show Rav Gamliel. He takes out his iPhone, okay, in front of Rav Gamliel. He goes, look! In Rav Gamliel's house, he takes out his iPhone and shoves it into front of Rav Gamliel's face. We all know Rav Gamliel. How do you think he handled this? So Rav Gamliel, I didn't know he was this strong. He goes, apparently, you're the Balabas. And he picked up the guy and threw him in his Lazy Boy. And Rav Gamliel's Lazy Boy is like rocking away. Like this idiot had no idea what Rav Gamliel was saying. So going like this and like this. So, buddy, you come into my house. You ask me for a bracha. You're coming for direction and you shove an iPhone in front of my face? Obviously, you think you're the Balabas. Boom! And he took it did. He sat in that Lazy Boy just rocking away. Some people have no das. They don't understand life. How is someone like that supposed to approach a Rashi? How is someone like that supposed to read a Mesillas Yesharim? Everything they do will be off. They don't have basic understanding. As my dear friend Akiva Leibowitz said to me this morning, we were discussing this topic. He said something beautiful. He said, when the host says, feel at home, they don't mean feel at home. They mean feel at home as a guest, right? A person has to always remember that they're not the Balabayas. I want you to know, the Rosh Yeshiva has an interesting minhag. I don't know, every time he does it, you'll see me smirking because it's funny to me. I don't understand it. But whenever he speaks publicly, he looks at me and says, Bereshus. And then I start like giggling in my seat almost every time. Now you're going to start giggling because you guys know the whole thing. But maybe we'll tell him to stop doing it. We'll see. Why does he do that? I have no idea. Because of his great modesty, the Rosh Yeshiva, because I'm sitting on the other side of the Arun, he says the words Bereshus. The words Bereshus. I don't fall for it. Do you know why I don't fall for it? I don't raise money for this yeshiva. I don't have sleepless nights for this yeshiva. I'm not responsible for anything here. I just do my job and I go home. And anything I do is extra. I'm not a Balabayas. And in all of the years I've been here, I've never spoken at any meal, at any occasion without asking him permission. Do you know why? Because he's the one who runs the show. Oh, what do you mean? The Shiva loves you. He's saying, Bereshus, Bereshus. Give me a break. Give me a break. Moshe Rabbeinu did not fall for losing his understanding of reality. He didn't fall for it. With all the things that Hashem gave him, he understood who's the giver and who's the taker. But sometimes people just take the wheel. They forget it. Someone gives them so much and goes, yeah, I'm the Balabayas. They just switch over. Rachmana Litzlan. And there's so many places that you can see this, my friends. You know where you can see this? When people say Shalom Aleichem to the Rosh Yeshiva in the beginning of his Zman or at the end of his Zman. It sounds like something trivial. However, when you're the Balabayas, you don't have to say goodbye or hello to anyone. You just book. You book. That's what you do. Right? No one, Baruch Hashem, nobody leaves a suda on Shabbos without saying goodbye to the host because they know that they're not the Balabayas. Why is it that so many people can leave yeshiva no one even knew they left? Not a call, not a simon, not a email, not a nothing. So one reason is just people are embarrassed, and that's a very big limud schus. And I'm not talking about people who are embarrassed. But some people just really feel like this place is for them. Like they come when they please, they leave when they please. They don't have to answer to anybody and anything. And I found a Gemara. Hashem put it in front of me. Mamish today. A Gemara Moed Katan Daf Tes. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was learning with his Talmidim, and they said goodbye to him. And then they stayed over the night, and then they came back and said goodbye again. He said, you're saying goodbye twice? They said, we have a drasha to prove that when you stay in the city of your Rebbe, you say goodbye again when you leave. And we slept here last night, so we said goodbye. Then the Gemara continues, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, these Talmidim, he tells his son Rabbi Elazar, go get brachas from them. Why? Because they're anashim shel tzura, men of distinction. Rashi says they're chachamim, but I was very bothered. Rashi says they're chachamim. In all of Shas, I don't remember a lashon like this. Men of tzura, a form, right? Like form? Like that's how he described them? The answer, my friends, is yes. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai chapped over here. Of course, they learned it from a pasuk. These are people who are real menshes. You know, there are people who say thank you once, when they leave the meal, and then they're the people on Sunday who say thank you. It's a whole different league of people. You know how many Rebbetzins probably after the Shabbos came home to their husbands came home? All the Rabbeim of this yeshiva who had these Shabboses, you know, every Rebbetzin without fail, if they're normal, they say to their husband, "Nu, what was the feedback about Shabbos? The boys enjoyed?" And sometimes a Rebbe could be like, "Nobody came over to me," right? Not chas v'shalom most times, but it could be. Or maybe only one person came over and the husband has to make a whole big deal out of that. But a person understanding who's the giver, who's the taker, who's the Bala Bias over here? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai saw distinction over here. Wow, they come, they say goodbye, they stay the night, they say goodbye again. Such a way of being maimed the relationship properly, of seeing things the way they're supposed to. And there's another chazal, amazing chazal. And this bothered me for years. And I thought about it, and I was really thinking that this is an incredible thing. It's in the Mesillas Yesharim, brought in from the Gemara in Sota Daf Mem. Amar Rabbi Avo! Rabbi Avo says, "May resh hava mina anvarasana ana." I used to think I was an anav. Then I saw Rabbi Abba of Akko. Ooh, Rabbi Abba of Akko. And I realized he's an anav. Why? The Amar ihu chad time of Amar Amore chad time of Elo Kapit. He says his reason, and then his Amora says a reason. The Amoras back then were like the people who were the human microphones. Basically, you would say something, and the Amora would tell it to the Tzibur, right? Well, this Rabbi Abba Menachem, you know what happened? He would say his Shtichel Torah, and then his Amora would say, "This is what he said, but Rabbi said, listen to my Shtichel." Right? That's not a microphone. And he kept doing that. Do you know what that is? And to not be able to care, he said, "I've never seen someone who's more of an anav." When somebody feels like you take from their role, when they're the Bala Bias and you steal it from them, you know how painful that is? Anybody who can handle that must be a very impressive person. And it's all about seeing where we are. We have Rabbeim, Shir. Some people, they get some Beichsvar, they didn't even spend time in Seder, they have some Beichsvar on a very interesting question, and they don't let the Rebbe go for 15 minutes of a half hour Shir. And they feel like, "Look at me, I'm such a learner, I'm so stark, I'm getting into it," right? You realize you wasted everyone's time? You know how your Rebbe, after a chasana, stayed up till 3 in the morning to prepare this shiur, and all you want to do is hear yourself talk, and you're causing everyone else to suffer. Ooh, why don't you ask him after shiur? That's lunch. So you're really not so interested in that, right? Because you can ask him afterwards. It's a certain respect. I once had somebody here in the crowd, there was a guest speaker here. It was a very significant guest speech. And a very, very big chacham in the crowd took over the shiur. And I came over to him afterwards. I'm like, "You realize what you did to a human being? To a Talmud Chacham?" I speak. Maybe the limud chos is that people don't know about public speaking. You don't know what it is. I speak. You know how much goes into it? If somebody would take up my time, it's killer. It's killer. Because they don't understand what went into this, what's going on, and now where's it going? It's just disappearing in front of my face. Not understanding our role. Ein bodas. Not basic derech eretz. Not basic derech eretz. And it's a pella sometimes. You see people, in regular people who actually are lomdei sefer and should be talmidei chachamim, have an open sefer doing shnayim mikra while someone's speaking I want you to know, based on my shimush, and I have rias for this, somebody who's learning shnayim mikra during a shir of someone else might be chayev misa for busha barabim. And I'll explain to you why, and it's based on a chazanish, and I don't want to get into it. When somebody publicly reads a sefer during a shir while somebody else is speaking, they're giving an impression that the speaker's a loser. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not worth my time. I'm stuck here. I might as well do something productive. And the speaker actually feels that everybody's not looking at him. They're looking at the Shnai Mikra guy. When this has happened to me, you know what I've wanted to do? Take that Shnai Mikra guy and chuck him out the window. Because I'm not that unov from the Gemara and Sota. Pash should feel like, "Get out of here. Why are you here? What are you doing? Understanding where we are and what we're doing. Being part of something. You think the Ribbono Shel Olam gets nachas from such a Shnayim Mikra? Or zugging Tehillim like that? We don't, and no one's bad. Just nobody sees other people. Other people. And then there are two ways of dozing off in a shiur, by the way. One's fine. This is the fine way. That's fine, because he's tired, right? Then there's a guy who practically has his pillow. It's like, he like gets his blankie ready for the shiur, right? He's like, right? As soon as the guy starts, he's doing it. What is that? Doesn't someone think they would be chayiv misa for doing that to a person? Anybody who in shiur could mamish go like this, like on purpose, is a person who can't get married, who can't have sensitivity to any basic... What is that? What is that? So don't come to shiur. Oh, I have to come to shiur. No, you don't. Be a man. Go to your bed. How could we do that to someone? And it's not because we're bad. We just have no das. We don't think. So many people like this. And if somebody sees a Talmud Chacham doing this, they're going to go, oh, I have a kasha on Stark. No, you don't. You have a kasha on that Talmud Chacham. Not me. Not me. I have a medrash that says Talmidei Chachamim sometimes end up looking like this. So don't ask the kasha on me. Bring the medrash rabbah to that Talmud Chacham and say, I see that you got yourself all nice and cozy. I have a kasha from Vayikra Rabbah on your behavior. Don't come back to me. Come back to him. Derech Eretz, my friends. Derech Eretz. And now I'm going to nail myself as we end. It's time to nail myself. And I like to be honest, but I was blown away in the Pele Yoetz under Derech Eretz. You know what he says? And this is terrible for me to do at overtime. He writes that there are darshanim who take so long and keep the people stuck there. And they can't do anything about it. And they're hungry, they're tired, and they feel because of the respect of the great man in front of them that they can't leave. And he says, it doesn't matter if it's a Dvar Torah, or it's Musar, or it's this. Stop holding people hostage with your Divrei Torah. He says this. And he says a beautiful vitz. He says, it says in Rus, Vayomer Lakotzrib Hashem Imachem. It says about those who cut the wheat, that Hashem is with you. He says, no, it says about those who know how to be brief when they're learning and giving a drasha, Hashem should be with you. Thank you for saving us. So I think I'm going to end on that note.